Welcome to the Tomorrow's Visitors podcast. My name is Kieran Swale. I'm a tourism innovation specialist at Southern Regional College. I'm a big supporter of local tourism and bringing people together. And in this podcast series, I'm going to be talking about tourism in Ireland, North and South, about emerging visitor trends and new technologies, new visitor experiences and culture and heritage and visitor attractions. I'm going to be talking to the connectors from tour guides to food and drink producers, from tour operators and agents to accommodation providers, trying to get a handle on what tomorrow's visitors are actually looking for, and finally then sharing some practical tips for tours and businesses. So for the latest episode, log on to tomorrowsvisitors.com, or if you have any ideas for future podcasts, please get in touch. Welcome back to Tomorrow's Visitors podcast. My name is Kieran Swale, and today I'm in conversation with Alison Harvey. Alison is the Programme Manager for the Heritage Council of Ireland. She's based in Kilkenny, but she's not from Kilkenny. No, she's from Northern Ireland. Have you ever wondered where does heritage sit within tourism or vice versa? Have you ever thought about the natural and built assets within 5 kilometres of where you live? Why is it that very often visitors seem to be better informed about the local environs than we are, or our local residents? In the last few months, I've rediscovered some of the local assets that we have here, and I live in Carriduff and County Down. Drumbo Tower, which is, if you're familiar with, on the outskirts of Belfast, I suppose it's southeast Belfast really, but it's about 5 kilometres from where I live in Carriduff. And I've recently got frequented with the Drumbo Tower, and began to realise when I did a bit of digging that went back to St. Patrick's time, and it has a checkered history and one of cross community interest. My own parish at home is the parish of Drumbo in Carriduff, and which is a Roman Catholic church, but the Drumbo Tower is in the Presbyterian Church of Drumbo, and it's a good example of cross community, historic cross community shared assets. So I guess in this podcast, Alison talks about the importance of tourism being future-proofed, noting that culture is the bedrock of the tourism experience. And she's trying to help communities unravel the stories and narrative within their own community. And when we get into the discussion, it's very interesting. She talks about a focus of putting placemaking before place marketing. She talks about these layers of hundreds and hundreds of years of form and fabric that are in the towns of Ireland, North and South. Recent initiatives that the Heritage Council have been taking part in include a Heritage Action Plan for Tipperary, and we discussed this. That particular plan is a focus on reusing and repurposing landmark and traditional buildings in the town centre. We go on to talk about the Collaborative Town Heritage Programme, and what she has developed is a 15-step process for towns to follow. This year, the Heritage Council supported 2 national initiatives, the first one being to record what's in your 2 kilometres of where you live, and then the second one was a children's art competition. So we go on then in the podcast to discuss the possibilities of deploying new technologies to extend the reach of heritage and cultural experiences. And we were talking about augmented reality and virtual reality and using apps to market places and people and performances. And I suppose this is now coming into vogue very much in tourism and culture. And then Alison in the podcast concludes with a final plea to support your local town centre.
Alison, good morning, and thank you very much for agreeing to come on to the Tomorrow's Visitors podcast. I know we're on Zoom this morning. Everyone, delighted that Alison Harvey from the Heritage Council, Alison's Programme Manager, is delighted to join us on the Tomorrow's Visitors. How are you this morning, Alison?
Good, great to be here. Thank you very much for the invitation.
You're very welcome, and thank you for accepting it. One thing we have in common is our northern accents.
Yes, our heritage.
Our heritage. I love it. I love it. I love it. So I think for the listeners today, Alison, it would be great. Could you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came into the role? that you're in.
Okay, so my name is Alison Harvey. I work for the Heritage Council. We are actually based in Kilkenny in the Republic of Ireland. And my background is I'm actually a planner and I'm also a project manager. So I've been in the Heritage Council for nearly 16 years, a long time. And previous to that, I was in the private sector. So my whole sort of role is to set up and run programs to do with heritage and how heritage is managed within the Irish planning system.
Okay. And in terms of, that's an interesting background. So I imagine tourism has been part of that somewhere along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a recurring theme for me. When I worked in the private sector, I would have worked on tourism studies, regeneration studies, tourism and heritage and tourism. So yeah, very much. And also, you know, a lot of stuff on town centres, urban, rural regeneration, working with communities, working with the private sector. I mean, absolutely. Tourism has been a huge interest to me since my college days. And I think it's really, really important because obviously it's an abstract export for, you know, our balance of payments. So it's really, really important that way. As I say, my undergrad was economics. So yeah, it's always trying to make sure that the tourism sector is functioning well and that it's sort of future-proofed. Mm. Really important that we future-proof everything in Ireland so that we don't get any shocks because that sector is so important.
There's an interesting discussion around, you know, is it a heritage umbrella or a tourism umbrella, you know, and I believe that they're integrated, heritage and tourism, tourism and heritage, you know, one's synonymous with the other, and you can't separate the two out, because I believe strongly that the visitor, certainly the international and the domestic visitor, heritage is a main, and culture. Culture in Northern Ireland, as we say, are the main reasons why people come to visit here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the trigger and the bedrock, you know. So what we're finding, as you probably well know, is that people are looking for experience, you know. So, like, really what we want to do is to make every town sort of, you know, to get through the narrative, to talk about the narrative, the unique selling point of that historic town, that historic village. You know, that really needs to be worked on. It doesn't just happen. So, you know, in terms of the work that I do with communities and the private sector, you know, it's very much about placemaking. And there's no point really doing place marketing until you've got to the placemaking, you know, that you've got that right. So I think sometimes people kind of try and rush to the tourism and the promotion. But it's really, really important that we think about what do visitors actually want. You know, what is that experience? What can we offer? What is unique? What is different about this place? You know, and really that's the whole thing about Ireland, because we've got such unique places. We've got such a rich heritage, all these layers, time depth, as they call it, you know. So if you look at various towns, you know, you're looking at hundreds and hundreds of years of evolution and, you know, the sort of form and fabric that is in that town. And that's really, I suppose, why I love my job so much, because you're trying to find that narrative with other people in collaboration. So I'm a great believer in collaboration, you know, the tourism product, the place making and the place marketing has to be done in collaboration.
Surely. And that's not easy to do, to, you know, so I'm thinking of many of the rural towns in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. And I like the way you've put that, to uncover the narrative, to how that unfolds. You know, when you go through a little village anywhere in Ireland, you're physically, you see the infrastructure and you're taken with that. But then how do you, with the changing visitor experience, obviously we're very different at the moment. So how, from a planning perspective, do you make the visitor aware of this? You know, it's, and I know that is in promotion, but actually you are right. Before you get to that, I think on the ground, those domestic inhabitants, the residents of the town need to have, and there is that, and certainly there's the initiative in the south of Ireland, but community pride and civic pride is very, very strong, and have the Tidy Towns initiative and things like that. But I'm just thinking in your role, in terms of when you're planning as a programs manager, how do you ensure that tourism is integrated? How do you do that? Or can you give us an example of where that's happened?
Well, I mean, I suppose one of the most recent projects that we've just launched last week with Minister Noonan was a heritage action plan for Tipperary. town. So, you know, that's the first one that's been done in the country. So I wrote that for the community, with the community. I actually had workshops with them at the start of the year, just before lockdown. So, I mean, a lot of my work is, you know, facilitating. Again, that's kind of what I've been doing for many years. And also trying to empower those communities in those sort of areas to see what is their tourism product. And the focus on that Heritage Action Plan was looking at how can we do heritage-led regeneration. And what tourism products are potentially there in Tipperary town, such as the sort of, you know, the song that is affiliated with the town, with the town. It's a long way to Tipperary. And also the rich military history, again, you know, layers and layers, not just sort of, you know, more recent military history.
Sport should be in there as well.
Sorry?
The great sporting from Tipperary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we have so many projects on the go. So, you know, really, I suppose the thing is about tourism that you've got to identify what are your winners, you know, what's your sort of quick wins. And also you've got to think about the sort of cost benefit. You know, everything comes down to sort of funding and what's the value for money for the visitor and also for the public purse if there's going to be investment. So, I mean, all those decisions have to be built into the programme, you know, the programmes that I set up and run.
So that's a recent initiative. Can you give us others, maybe if you're allowed to, if you're able to, that you're maybe currently working on, or you've something across Ireland?
Okay, so yeah, one of the programs that I've been working on for the last few years, I set it up actually in 2016. It's called Collaborative Town Centre Health Check Program. And that's just recently been included in the Republic of Ireland's Program for Government, which was announced in June. And really the focus of that is looking at historic town centres. Now, our town centres, you know, which is a common theme in sort of the Western world, our town centres were struggling way before COVID. And as I say, we've been working on this for the last few years. So the whole thing about that was trying to sort of get a collective regeneration engine created for heritage and tourism. So two of the towns that we've been working with for the last few years, Tralee, Letterkenny, both of those towns won most enterprising town in Ireland after we had gone through the Collaborative Town Centre Health Check process, which is a 15-step process that I created when we were setting out. So it's about trying to set up best practice processes that are collaborative and making sure that you
can... easy to implement, those 15 steps, are they easy to implement?
No, they're not easy. I mean, it is tough. And the Mayor of Tralee said to me, this is not for the faint-hearted. Okay. So that was Norma Foley, who's now our Minister for Education. Great support when we were actually setting it up. That was the first project that made it over the line, right? So, you know, the 15 steps, yeah, because we're starting with no data, right? One of the key things that we're trying to do is, you know, collect the quantitative and the qualitative data about a town. And you can't do that without the people. You have to have the communities on board. They're the ones that know the history. And as I say, I'm a facilitator, so I don't come in saying this is what you need. It's like, tell me your stories, tell me what's of value to you for tourism, and I will help you try and go on a journey where we can actually turn this town around.
I'm interested in the 15 steps because I think models your own planning background, and I think you mentioned economics as well, and I suppose my own background in tourism, and it is, you're right, it's easy to go into a location and drop a model and say, right, this is how, but you've your point is well made about listening on the ground, and that will uncover ideas in terms of facilitation. Is this 15-step model available to know?
Yes, oh, absolutely. It's on the web, and, you know, I'm hoping to bring out, you know, sort of a social media kind of campaign on the 15 steps. So we have worked. We have workshops, and because of COVID, I'm going to have to move the workshops online. So I'm hoping to have an event in October to, you know, educate on the raise awareness of the 15 steps. So, like, at the minute, we have.
We'll spin that out. Please let us know about that, and we'll certainly share that out. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I can send you I have quite a few visuals done with a graphic designer. So the 15 step, if I could just sort of make. So we've got 15 towns in the program at the minute, right? And I've created, because the demand just took off. So for the first workshop, we had 70 people at the first workshop, and I had 130 at the second workshop. So the demand has just been crazy. It's gone. I mean, the word I use is bonkers. It's gone bonkers. So I had to break it down into two strands to manage it. So I've got a border towns network, and I'm very much keeping an eye on Brexit there, that we have all the information for those border towns in the Republic. And then the second network that I have is the Atlantic Economic Corridor towns, so all the towns along the west of Ireland. Now, I don't have a programme strand for the east of the country because I don't have the resources, but I'm hoping now that this programme for government that we've been included, the programme has been included, that there will be you know, a significant investment in the programme in terms of staff and team
Are you working with Fáilte Ireland on that? Or are you communicating with Fáilte Ireland?
Yes, very much so. I mean, I have, you know, a few friends who work for Fáilte Ireland. So like we're always, you know, phoning each other, sort of saying, here, what about this town? What are you doing there? Yeah, I mean, I, as I said earlier, I truly believe in collaboration. That is my whole background, right? I just don't believe in silos. I don't think it works. So the more that we can collaborate with Fáilte Ireland, and also I'm trying to, you know, do work with the European Commission as well because of Brexit. You know, we've got to be ready for Brexit happening. And the Atlantic Economic Corridor, like I really, you know, truly believe, again, I suppose as a programs manager, that we would like to join up with towns along in France, the Atlantic periphery, and Spain and Portugal. So, you know, it's I very much would like to work within a European context. So, yeah, tourism, hugely important for Europe, the amount of employment that is in that sector. And for Ireland, I mean, that's our image. That's our sort of the trigger for people coming into the country. And as you know, with the COVID, the staycations, the, you know, the holidaying at home, it's really, really important that we sort of share the knowledge of what our town is about and attract people into different areas. I mean, it's a very competitive sector and that's really what it's all about, you know?
I think this is why what is so interesting, if you're taking the lead on this, to look at your communities, because the first month, so let's take April, the first month of April, many people were walking and some being allowed to cycle. I think in the Republic of Ireland, you were allowed to cycle up to five kilometres maybe, or two kilometres. So what was happening was people were uncovering assets. You know, oh gosh, now I live in Carrickduff in County Down. And I don't know if you know Drumbow, but we've got the Giant's Ring. You'll see it if you fly.
Yeah, I know it well. Yeah. So, but as a kid.
But all on Drumbow Tower, which is only about 2.5 miles from, say, 4 kilometres from me. But all of these, like my children were saying, Daddy, I didn't realise that was there. And it's on their doorstep, you know. So yeah. The primary school children were finding out about these assets. Yeah. Across Ireland, they were finding this out. And they didn't. My two sons, I'm a cyclist. So I got them... Finally, after how many years, got them on the bikes on different occasions. I didn't know. You know how the roads are now. So I go byways, let's say, and try safe cycling. They didn't realise there's so many fields. Didn't realise there were so many iron gates. Never mind the trees.
I know, and hedgerows and, you know, hedgerows, what's birds, in the hedgerows.
And the birds. And said, wow. So for us in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, in April, because there was no traffic. And then the impact there, which is a different discussion. But what it made us stop and think about what's on our doorstep. So then if you accelerate that and then look from with a visitor's glasses or a visitor's viewpoint, is this is fantastic.
Absolutely. And I mean, we found the Heritage Council, myself and all, you know, the sort of team, you know, that sort of lockdown, people did rediscover biodiversity, they did rediscover graveyards, all those things that are in their locality. And as you say, the whole world sort of slowed down because we were moving at a different pace. You know, okay, we were still working as such, but we weren't in cars. So like you're walking and discovering things in hedgerows. And we actually did a program, you know, back in April to sort of try and record your 2 kilometres. And also then one of the things that I was doing through my program was to do children's art. So we did with local artists in each town. So we got each local artist to draw, to do colouring in sheets for their town centre with landmark buildings and did competitions on that. So
can I put you back on that? Those are two very interesting initiatives. So record what's in your 2K. How did that actually work? Forgive me.
It worked on social media. So we asked kids in particular to go out and take photographs of what did they discover in their 2 kilometres when they were out doing their sort of daily walk. Or you know, adults or whatever. But usually it's the kids that are more sort of, you know, notice things and then drag the parents over. So that was really, that was a lovely initiative. And actually, you know, to be fair to the Irish government, they had sort of contacted our department. You know, we're in... obviously, we sit within a department and we were sort of asked, can you get some stuff up on social media for people to do when they're at home? So it was very much driven by the Irish government, which I thought was wonderful, you know. And also, as I say, about the children's art. So we worked, you know, you were asking me about Fáilte Ireland and stuff. You know, we were working with the sort of arts communities in each of those towns in the programme to get local artists to do those drawings. And we had competitions, which were a great crack, actually, because they all went up on social media. And then people started bribing each other in the competitions. You know, I'll bake you a cake if you pick mine as the winner. And this is all going online. And yeah, I mean, I suppose in the early days, you know, when people were a little bit more scared, I suppose, and it was quite terrifying what was happening, that really was needed. And that connection to our heritage was so, so important because people wanted to feel connected to something.
Absolutely. Yeah. So a little bit of, I'd like to find out before we finish up, I'd like to find out about COVID-19. Obviously, this had a big impact, but in terms of the visitor experience, in terms of what your programs and what you're planning, does technology come into play? I know you mentioned social media there, but in terms of the actual experience, does technology come into play?
Well, I mean, I think it's very important because, you know, obviously we have to get the narrative out and all, you know, sort of mechanisms to do that need to be looked at. So, you know, and in terms of what is unique about your town, how do we promote that and what sort of methods are used to promote that message and that narrative? So, you know, absolutely. I think COVID has changed everything. It's a positive disruptor, whatever you want to call it. You know, we need to turn it into a positive. I think that is really what we need to think about for COVID, is to use this as an opportunity to get change.
I think maybe where I'm thinking, Alison, is with either no access or reduced admittance to, let's take the built heritage then. So is there an opportunity or is your team thinking about, you know, allowing access using technologies, using new technology, or is this something that you're going to consider?
Yeah, I mean, very much so. We actually have Heritage Week next week, National Heritage Week 2020. So that has been the push, you know, because of, as you say, the access difficulties that we're trying to get people to sort of, you know, go online, to start doing podcasts, to start recording, to think about the diaspora. Because again, because we've got diaspora all over the world, to see, you know, how do we connect them back to their heritage so that they obviously they feel a bit better for their health and well-being, being Irish people away. So yeah, I mean, there's very, you know, that really is a push in the Heritage Council at the minute. And I mean, you know, I myself will be starting podcast recording next week. Excellent. So yeah, we are definitely moving into a sort of, you know, we're looking at technology. We will be changing our methods, and we'll be changing them very quickly. And hopefully Heritage Week will be that springboard for us. Yeah.
I hope to get back in touch with you in, give me about a couple of months, probably September. To showcase something to you on a, we're working with a couple of businesses in Murray and County Down. These are private sector businesses. One lady has actually closed a high street shop, and we're building a virtual shop for her.
Oh, lovely. Nice idea.
Technology, yeah, well, the technology we're using is a platform called Mozilla Hubs. Mozilla as in Mozilla, you'd have heard Mozilla would be like a browser, but Mozilla Hubs. Now it's early days, but this, we're actually looking at it for galleries as well, for like an art gallery. So it's a virtual experience. Notwithstanding that, this is not meant to close out the physical experience. I beg your pardon, I just got interrupted there. Installation of software. I'm just wondering. I'd like to share that with you maybe at a later stage. And I'm just wondering, across Heritage, is virtual visit, has virtual visits been discussed, or will it be discussed in 2021?
Yeah, I mean, everything is open, really. You know, all ideas are on the table at this stage. And I mean, we were talking yesterday, you know, myself and other colleagues, about sort of creativity and innovation, you know. So like, that really needs to come to the fore for the Heritage Council, and something that I really would like to focus on. It's something that I truly believe in. But I mean, it's interesting you're saying that. So like, even for the example of the town centres that we're working with, you know, that has struggled before COVID, and we had surveyed quite a lot of these historic towns last year and found that most of them did not have an online presence for selling, right? So the commercial sector was not online. So, you know, those towns went into COVID not being online. And that was obviously sort of, you know, that I was quite upset by it, to be totally honest, because I, you know, I really did feel for the sector. Because how are you meant to get changed so fast, you know? And then obviously, if you've got such demand, then prices tend to go up, you know, in terms of web design, whatever else, you know, the sort of impact of that. So, I mean, really, there needs to be strategic thinking to make sure that there is, you know, easy entry, easy exit into those sort of online facilities.
Where I'm kind of thinking of is the, particularly the arts sector and the performing arts sector, right across music, dance, bands, the whole lot, everything where you would have had that whole industry. And it's no longer just a cottage industry. It's quite significant in terms of arts and tourism.
Yeah.
But so many people that I've been talking to in the last 4 or 5 months, well, they're self-employed, but they don't have an income. Now they're on furlough, still on furlough.
For how long? That's very tough.
I don't know. And so what myself and a colleague were kind of looking at, not, maybe not Mozilla, but something like that, where you could have a performance space, which is still virtual, but there's an opportunity to come in and to make a contribution. So Alison's reciting tonight, or Alison and her team are going to, your choral group, I don't know how we do this, but you're going to perform. Alison's going to perform. So if you're a harpist, you're actually coming to perform virtually now. Not within Zoom either, but within this room. And we can set it up, and there's then a contribution to, let's say, like a PayPal account. Now it's time bound. So it's tonight's virtual performance. Alison Harvey, Ireland's greatest cellist is coming on tonight.
It's a bit of a push.
Oh, well, okay. Harpist
then. Stretch.
Well, Alison hasn't been able to. So those that support you realize that.
I played the piano many years ago. Would that do?
Your recital tonight, to realize that you're not normally, you would have, this would be a major income stream for you, your only income stream.
No, perhaps. I mean, I think that's a really valid point. And I mean, maybe we need to do more apps in the country to sort of match places with people, you know, with performance.
That's kind of getting at with this. Sorry, I know I've gone around the circles to kind
no,
of.
No, I mean, I think that's a really good idea, because, you know, the sort of, obviously with food and, you know, sort of fresh to table, whatever, you know, so they're trying to match fishermen with restaurants and chefs, right? And I mean, I think, you know, we really need to do that with the heritage and tourism. Like, there needs to be more synergies created, as you say, you know, through those sort of the technology or whatever. But definitely, I think we need to look into apps of how to match places and what is a suitable performance in that place and who is there, and to get that recorded, you know, as you say, virtually, whatever. I mean, really, like, I think we really need to sit down as two industries that are interdependent and to do more together for, you know, to move towards those new approaches. Absolutely. And that's why I think COVID has to be seen as an opportunity for that we can get change that is of benefit to our communities and to the sector. Do you know what I mean? So we don't have this massive economic shock.
Yeah. So you've shared with us today, Alison, I suppose, summing up some fantastic initiatives, and I'll do a little summary blog on this. Thank you very much. Certainly those that are listening to this today, hopefully you'll hear what the Heritage Council have been doing and are open to do. We'll talk to Alison and we'll get the link to the 15 steps.
Yeah. Could I just say one last thing? Sorry, Kieran, to interrupt. Could I just say, could you please support your local town centres? You know, shopping online and buying things that are coming in from China. You know, we really need to support our local commercial sector as well as our arts sector. It's so, so important, because they may not be there coming out of this COVID thing. Yeah. So that's really
people, what's the best way for people to get in touch with your organisation, Alison?
Okay, so, I mean, the Heritage Council, we have a website. We're also on LinkedIn. We're also on Facebook, Twitter. And, yeah, if you just, in terms of, I don't mind you putting out my email details, aharvey@heritagecouncil.ie. So, I mean, I'm very happy. My mobile phone is always on, and you can put that out with the blog as well. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, my phone's never off. I work with communities. I get lots of messages at night. So, yeah, I mean, we're all trying to work together to try and sort of make sure that this COVID-19 doesn't hit our country, you know, too hard.
Yeah, totally. Alison, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you very much. And I know certainly, hopefully, our listeners will take a lot of positive. It's been a very positive, honest, and a positive reflection today. And but there's hope, and I like the way you finished at the end there with the importance of supporting local. Totally agree. Not just in tourism, right across the community. So thank you very much for that. Best of luck with your. I know you've a lot of reports to write the rest of this week. So best of luck for that, and continued success in your role. And would love to pick this up again.
Lovely.
So,
thanks very much, Kieran. Cheers. Good to talk to you.
And you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly got a lot out of it. Very, very interesting conversation. The Heritage Council of Ireland have done a lot of work in the last 3 to 4 months, and it is worth checking out their website and their Facebook and YouTube channels as well. First of all, Alison can be contacted at aharvey@heritagecouncil.ie by email. The Heritage Council website is www.heritagecouncil.ie. And they've some very, very useful publications that are worth a mention here. Adopt a Monument Research Toolkit, Discover the Wall Towns of Ireland, Gardening for Biodiversity, and Know Your 5K. And those have all been published in 2020. So if you get a chance, go and have a look on that. And once again, thanks very much for listening. And our next podcast coming up will take us into the world of glamping. So hold tight for that one. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to Tomorrow's Visitors Podcast. Please check out our website at www.tomorrowsvisitors.com for a summary of this episode and useful links. We're always looking to hear about new ideas, different destinations, the latest innovation in technology and in tourism, so please get in touch on our social channels. If you get a chance, please review this Tomorrow's Visitors Podcast on iTunes, as this helps us with spreading our message. So from me, Kieran Sweel, thanks for listening.